This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Got a super busy life? You've got to hear about Dr. Dana Latour. She's an emergency pediatric doctor with a super hectic schedule, yet she still manages to jet set around the globe. In today's chat, we're diving into how she juggles saving lives and chasing adventures. Tune in for some awesome travel stories, handy tips for traveling abroad, and her advice for all of us trying to make the most out of our jam-packed lives. Trust me, you don't want to skip this one. It's all about making space for adventure, no matter how packed your schedule is.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast with DeAndre Koch, brought to you by Boldly Go. Beyond being the founder of Boldly Go, DeAndre has a deep expertise in financial planning through owning his own financial planning firm. This finance background has provided him unique insights, enabling him to navigate the travel landscape with ease, and is considered a renowned travel hacker. On this podcast, we're all about assisting adventurous travelers and budding explorers in tackling their travel hurdles, teaching luxury travel hacking strategies, and highlighting the busy professionals that still find time and ways to get away. Expect travel tips, unforgettable destination stories, and guidance on maximizing your rewards points. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and become an expert luxury travel hacker yourself. This is your journey, but our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Today, I've got a great one for you. I've got a physician, Dana Latour, who loves to travel and super excited to have her on the show today. Remember, you can always watch the whole video of this online as well at YouTube on our YouTube channel at Boldly Go World. But Dana, I'm super excited to have you on the show today. It's a pleasure. I actually have known Dana for, I think, 4 or 5 years now. We were connected in the financial advising world of mine. So for the new listeners, again, I own a wealth management practice. Dana was connected with me years ago, and we were talking shop about a lot of different things. And our conversation of travel kept coming up quite often. And I was like, you know what? You don't really hear about physicians that take the time to get away and travel, especially through their chaotic, busy schedule. And I was like, I've got to highlight someone like yourself. So Dana, welcome to the show today. Super excited to have you here.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Dana, let's give a moment for you to introduce yourself. What type of physician are you? You know, what's your specialty? Just give us a little bit of your professional background, your journey, maybe how you got to the medical field, and then we're going to parlay all that into the travel conversation.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm Dr. Dana Latour. I'm a pediatric emergency medicine physician based in New York City. Always been interested in traveling. But in terms of my background, I did undergrad in D.C., did medical school in Indiana. I did training in Virginia and in New York City, and I'm now in my first year as an attending.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So what do you think sparked your interest in travel? Was there something that you remember? Was it just the way that you grew up? Was it something that became a passion over time? What really sparked your interest initial in travel?
Well, so I'm a first generation here in the United States. My parents are from Haiti. So I think my interest in travel started there. The first time I left the country, I was one. I was a year old, and I went to Haiti for the first time with my father. And then since then, I've been going to Haiti, the Dominican Republic, all over the Caribbean. It wasn't until after college that I started traveling a little bit more outside of the Caribbean.
That's really cool. We have a lot of similarities there because I'm also a first generation immigrant as well. Mom being Jamaican, dad being Panamanian. Parents actually live in Panama now. And I, too, first time I ever traveled, my mom says I was 2 weeks old. I feel like that's illegally young to take a baby out of state, out of the country. I have no idea. But she said I just cried the whole time. We went to Jamaica for 2 weeks. Maybe I was older than that, but I knew I was at least I was under 1 year old. And so that's really cool. And very similarly, right? Traveling through the Caribbean, like you just get this. It's literally in your blood to travel, which is awesome.
Right.
So how have you managed to be able to travel while having such a demanding career? And while we talk, do you mind mentioning what your specialty is as far as what type of physician you are?
Yes. Yeah, so I did my residency in pediatrics, which is a three-year long residency program. And then I went on to further specialize within pediatrics, and I specialized in pediatric emergency medicine. So that was another 3 years of training. So 6 years total after medical school.
A lot of education there.
Yes. I think I completed 27 grades. So
that is insane and incredible. But thank you for the work that you do. I mean, you're literally the front lines helping save lives of kids. So that is awesome. So how have you been able to find the ability to balance travel, and how have you been able to mix in travel with such a demanding educational career? I know you said that you're in your first year of your specialty as an attending, but how have you been able to, you know, navigate that with schooling, residency? I know also to become the level you are, to do a fellowship. How did you manage that?
So I've always made it a priority to travel. In college, I really wanted to study abroad, but being pre-med and a biology major made it a little difficult to go abroad for an entire semester. So I settled for doing a summer abroad in the Dominican Republic. And I was able to combine my pre-med studies and study public health in the Dominican Republic and get to travel at the same time. So that was in college. In medical school, I went back to the Dominican Republic and did a mission trip with some family medicine physicians. So I was able to go back to the Dominican Republic, again, for both travel and work. And then in residency, I finally made it to Haiti, where my parents are from. I did 2 1-month long rotations in Haiti. So Monday to Friday, we're working hard alongside Haitian physicians and nurses. And then on the weekend, we had time to travel, which was nice. And then fellowship, I finally left the Caribbean for Africa, and I went to Tanzania and did a month long rotation in Tanzania.
How was that? Tell us about Africa. Tell us about Tanzania. What was exciting about that? Because, you know, a lot of the Caribbean can, although it's very different, can still feel the same or similar. How was that experience in Tanzania? What did you take away? What did you love? You know, would you go back again?
Yeah. I love Tanzania. It felt like home. There are a lot of similarities with Haiti. I initially wanted to go back to Haiti because, you know, that's where my parents are from, and that's where, you know, that's where I'm most passionate about. But Haiti is very unstable politically. So I had the opportunity to go to Tanzania, which wasn't on, you know, at the top of my list. But I got there, I loved it. It reminded me a lot of Haiti. It's a lot safer. And in terms of the medicine too, we're seeing a lot of similar cases that I would see in Haiti. A lot of kids suffering from malnutrition, malaria, and other chronic health disorders. Yeah, but Tanzania was a little different because I felt safe walking around. I took public transportation. The food's very different. A lot of that I could not do in Haiti. Usually driving with a family member or a personal driver, not on public transportation, definitely not walking around the streets.
Understood. So would you say that your experience in Africa, would that make you want to go back there? Would you go to the exact same place? Would you go somewhere different? What's next for you when it comes to these medical type missions that you're doing?
So I would definitely go back. I'm actually going back to Africa in less than a month, but purely for pleasure.
Nice.
Going to a wedding in Nigeria. I would definitely go back to Tanzania, and I would definitely go back to the same place. I was in Mwanza, and you build a relationship with these people, and to go back and see them again and see the changes that have been done, not just to the area that I was living in, but the changes that have been done to the hospital and the emergency department where I was working, would be nice to see how they've grown and changed. I would definitely go back to Zanzibar. I did spend 4 nights in Zanzibar. I didn't think that was enough. And there is a possibility of going back to Tanzania this summer. I have a friend who's also in the same specialty. So she's also a pediatric emergency medicine doc. She recently went to Tanzania and is planning to bring a bunch of doctors to do some education and work down in Tanzania. But this would be a different area in Tanzania.
Very nice. So would your trip to Tanzania be one of your most memorable, or do you have another travel story or really memorable trip that you'd love to share with us that you've taken, you know, in the past?
So I would say Tanzania is definitely one of the top. It was my first time in Africa. I wouldn't say it was a solo trip, but I did go by myself. I did, you know, go into an empty apartment and was living there for about 5 weeks. I would definitely say that's the most memorable. It was my first time going as a pediatric emergency medicine doctor. It's something I've always wanted to do, is to combine my passion for medicine and travel at the same time. I would say my most unique trip was probably to Iceland. Prior to going to Iceland, I had, you know, done a lot of trips that involved being at the beach and, you know, like a typical vacation, but Iceland was very different. I felt like I was like on a different planet, all the geysers and everything. I would say that's one of my top three trips.
Did you get to go to Iceland in the summer or the winter time?
I went in August. I think those were my second year of residency. So there was a lot of sunlight, so I was not able to see the Northern Lights, unfortunately.
I actually went in August as well. And it's an utterly incredible country. It's in, you know, my top five countries that I've been to. I tell a lot of people it's basically Hawaii, but north. So it's waterfalls, yeah. It's outdoors, it's gorgeous. It's absolutely stunning, just colder. And in August as well, it's really weird, right? Because it's like the sun sets at 11:50 p.m., but then rises at 3:30 a.m., and it doesn't really get pitch black. It just gets this like really weird dim gray color. But
yeah,
it's an incredible, incredible experience. I mean, visually stunning place. I mean, you see things there that you're just like, I can't believe I'm looking at this with my own eyes.
Right, that's how I felt. The 20 hours of daylight did help, though, because we ended up renting a car, which I feel like you have to do in Iceland. And so with more daylight, it's easier to travel, because I don't like to drive when it's dark. But you get to see more because the days seem longer. So we definitely took advantage of that.
Yeah, that's what I absolutely want to do myself. Next time I go back is rent like a camper van and then just really go around the entire country/island. That is the country, and experience it. We instead, you know, had I base camped in Reykjavik, the capital, essentially, for a few days, and then had a base camp in, I'm not even trying to pronounce the name of it, but more in the center of the country. And we did, you know, excursions or hikes, I should say, back and forth from there. I think the real experience, like you said, is to be able to have your own vehicle, drive around, and ideally if you can stay in your vehicle that you're in, that would make for a really incredible experience, because there's campsites everywhere you go, because the whole country is really, really outdoorsy.
Right. And I wouldn't consider myself a very outdoorsy person, and I would still recommend it.
Did you get to go to the Blue Lagoon?
I did. So I also was like based in Reykjavik, but we rented a car and went like up to the southern eastern portion of the island. But we spent a whole day at the Blue Lagoon. I feel like I've never relaxed that much in my life.
Hey everyone, this is DeAndre Coke interrupting the episode real quick to let you know that if you want to travel in style and luxury, thanks to travel hacking, here's an amazing opportunity to learn how. I've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you a special discount on their in-depth online course. It busts common myths, teaches the basics, and even has advanced techniques that surprised even me. Imagine exploring ancient ruins in Italy or sipping cocktails on a Polynesian beach and traveling there in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. This limited time offer saves you 50%, and you even get bonus content that's not available to the public. You also get access to the private Lux Travel Hacks Facebook community, where you can grow even more in your travel expertise. Click the link in the show notes and use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout to take advantage of this huge opportunity. All right, now back to the show. So some travelers want to avoid the tourist experience, right? They want to avoid all the touristy spots, and Blue Lagoon is an extremely touristy spot. And anyone, for the listeners out there, if you ever just do a Google image search of Iceland Blue Lagoon or on Instagram, you're going to see, I mean, it's incredible hot springs that like the water is like this bluish white color that you can, like you said, spend all day. It's like spending all day in an outside spa. It's very touristy, but it's also very amazing. And there's other places you can go to that's not as touristy, that's very similar. But the Blue Lagoon, I would say, is worth the visit. I had a great time there myself, and I tried to go off the beaten path, but it was great. I personally loved it, so I'm glad you had a great experience there as well.
Yeah, I try to avoid some of the very touristy spots as well, but this was worth it. Like, I would go back again. I know people who are who travel to Europe and will use Iceland as like a, you know, a little break before they get, or a stop before they get to their final destination. And I would do that again. So I highly recommend it. And I also went to a couple other lagoons, some very small, or not lagoons, hot springs, some very small, like very natural. So I got a little bit of both.
Awesome. Awesome. So Dana, let me ask you this. How do you balance your professional schedule, your professional obligation with your aspirations of travel right now, right? So it sounds like for the most part, I think all the education is done. How do you work your busy schedule and still find time to, like you said, go back to Africa, you know, do the different things that you want to do from a travel standpoint?
So I wouldn't say I'm like very organized or a planner, but I do plan ahead. So we, as an attending, I get my schedule quarterly. So I will know my schedule for the next 3 months at a time. So I, you know, decide where I'm going. I book the plane ticket and I book everything else afterwards. But I make it a priority, and I do have 5 to 6 weeks of vacation every year. But on top of that, you know, I'm trying to travel even more through work. So my interest in global health will allow me to travel even more outside of like my personal vacation time. In residency, it was a little harder to plan out these travel or to plan out travel because our schedules were a lot, you know, busier. So as a resident and as a fellow, I would use my elective rotations or rotations that had a vacation week in it to plan ahead. And we had our schedules out for several months at a time. So I was able to schedule or book flights way ahead of time.
Awesome. You said something that I think is really important to point out, and don't correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you said that you plan your flights first and then you book everything else in between after that. You kind of figure everything else out between after that, correct?
The first step is getting there. So yes. Yeah. It's always the flight first.
So I'm a huge fan of that. And the reason why, you know, of course, on this podcast, you know, we talk a lot about the act of, you know, using points and miles and travel strategy, and when a strategy that's coined travel hacking, right? And that's using points and miles and really finding opportunities to travel that a lot of people may miss, and to make that also ideally as best as possible, maybe a luxury experience. And the reason why I'm pointing that out is because with doing the points and miles strategy, a lot of times you can find the deals that are out there and then book everything else around that. I think what a lot of people do is they typically book their hotel first or their resort first, and then that really pigeonholes them to, well, I've got to now find a flight that comes in on this day and goes out on that day. Whereas if you just go ahead and put in, hey, I want to fly to, let's just say, Greece, right? And just kind of leave it wide or open or have a range of days to get there, you could probably find a really, really great deal because you're not getting there on the standard day that everyone else is flying in on, like a Friday or a Saturday or whatever it may be. So one of the things that I like to recommend people try to do, if they've never done it, go on Google Flights, or you can also do this on Kayak, put your hotel of or your airport of origin, and then, you know, put the destination, but don't put a date. And they'll tell you some really awesome prices that are very low that you might never have seen if you put in the fixed date. So I like that you pointed that out, that you do that as well, because again, getting there is half the battle.
Right. No, I'm definitely familiar with Kayak and Google Flights. I've even gotten to the point where I will put a range of dates, like you said, so that you're more flexible, but I often don't put a destination. I'll put, you know, my destination of origin and leave the final destination blank and search based on pricing. So I, you know, I want to travel to every country if I can. So I've kept it very open about where I go. So like this past December, I put New York City area airports, and then I literally opened the map and you can search by nonstop flights, because I hate to stop. I love a nonstop flight.
And if you're flying from New York, I mean, you can pretty much go almost anywhere in the world nonstop, right. which I am jealous of. Not jealous of how busy the airports are, but jealous of the fact you can get anywhere in one flight.
Right. So I ended up seeing a nonstop flight to Aruba, and this was like one of my few solo trips, but I booked like 3 days before and I went to Aruba to escape the cold in your city.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So outside of going back to Africa, I know you said that you have a couple of things coming up. Any other destinations that are big on your radar, any bucket places that you are really hoping to go to soon or you already have on the calendar outside of going back to Africa?
So I'm planning to go to Mexico City in May. So I have Nigeria next month. I'm planning to go to Mexico City. This is purely like a food trip. I just want to go there and eat.
Nice.
And then I have a friend who's going to Ireland in June to see the Killers. And she's like, why don't you just join me? And I was like, okay, maybe I'll go with you to Ireland. And then there's the possibility of Tanzania again in August. And I think that might be it for the year. We'll see. Outside of Africa, I definitely want to go to the Philippines. I love Filipino food. I've seen beautiful pictures of the like beaches. I just love bodies of water. So it's like high on my list. That would require some serious planning, though.
Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. So I know you mentioned, I love this travel tip you said, right? So not just starting with the plane or booking the flight first and figure it out in between, but also not even putting the end destination and just figuring out where you go from there based on pricing. Any other tips or strategies that you feel like you use that are maybe fairly unique or you think maybe most travelers don't do themselves?
I actually use Instagram a lot for resort suggestions or following certain travel bloggers just to know what's out there. Because if you're using booking.com, you're going to see pictures that the resort, you know, hired a photographer to upload on their website, and it may be, you know, there may be some false advertising there. So I use Instagram a lot for accommodations, activities. So I feel like people underuse Instagram. And so what I'll do, and I actually have this on my account, I will save posts based on destinations. I'll create my old folder on Instagram. So you can save posts on Instagram and then make a folder. So I have it for countries that I have no plans of traveling to this year. But when it is time to go there, I'll just go back to that folder and look at all the places that I see that I want to go to.
That's awesome. So Taryn, my fiance, she actually found out, I think it was probably last year, that Instagram opened up that same feature, but you can now share that with people. So if you have a travel partner, you can start bookmarking where you want to go and have like this shared folder of all these posts and ideas. So I love that, because when we go somewhere, a lot of times like we already know where we want to go eat or whatever it may be, just based off of pictures of food that, you know, either typically she or I, you know, bookmarked and saved. So that's a really great tip. I appreciate you sharing that with the listeners. So Dana, question for you. Any advice that you have for professionals who want to travel more, but they're concerned with time constraints? And I know you have, like you said, you have about 5 to 6 weeks a year. You get your schedule in advance. Maybe for the other physicians out there that maybe have a different type of schedule than you do, or just other professionals in general, what advice would you give to them that say, hey, I want to travel more, but I just don't know if I can do it with my schedule?
I would just say to make time. Like, if it's a priority for you, you've got to make the time. And as physicians, I mean, we all get vacation time. So if you feel like you don't have enough time for the planning purposes, there's always the idea of hiring a travel agent, which I've never taken advantage of. But that does take away a lot of the stress and time, because it's very time consuming planning a trip. Whether it's looking for the flights, the hotels, like all of that takes time. You have to put in work for it. There are other options to make it easier for you, but you really have to just make time for it and make it a priority.
Make time. Absolutely correct there. And if it's high enough on the radar, right, you'll make it happen.
Right.
So Dana, how can the listeners connect with you if they're interested in following you, maybe hearing about your successes, your travels, all those different things? What's the best way for them to connect with you?
They can connect with me via my LinkedIn account. Dana Latour, MD.
Perfect. And we'll put that in the show notes as well. So if they want to connect with you professionally, they're more than able to. Awesome, Dana. Well, this has been great. I appreciate you sharing your story with us. Any other final thoughts, any exciting trips, any places on your bucket list outside of the Philippines, anything else you care to share before we wrap up here?
I feel like Namibia is like the top of my list right now, and I'm going to keep it at that. Maybe sometime next year.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're going to keep our fingers crossed that we're able to execute on a brilliant travel strategy. I know it's going to take some planning. And of course, planning is what's probably one of the more time consuming things to do. So we're going to hope and keep our fingers crossed that we get to hear a great story about Namibia next year from you after you knock that one out the park. So appreciate your time today, Dana. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your story, your background, your passion, and some of the tips that you like to use as well.
Thanks again for having me.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And so for the listeners out there, remember, make the priority to travel. Take time. It's not just going to happen. You got to get out and get after it yourself. And there's different ways that you can get to the destination you want to go. And you can follow Dana's advice and not even know what your destination is. Pick where you start. Pick your home. And then say, hey, I want to spend no more than X amount of dollars on this trip. And I want to go there and see where it takes you. Or if you're using points and miles, there's different search engines as well that you can do the same thing. Pointsya.com is one of those resources where you can say, I know I want to start here and I want to go anywhere in the world for less than X amount of points. And you'll be able to find some incredible places that you might not have gone to if you didn't try otherwise. So remember to, if you like this episode, please like, share, subscribe. Tell your friends, and also if you have feedback, please share it our way as well. Always looking to see how we can make sure that we help you revolutionize your journey, and we'll see you in the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning into the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, book a consultation with us. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to set it up and explore more. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Boldly Go. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.